If the season ended today, the Atlanta Braves would be out of the playoffs. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Friday, August 9th, 2024. I am Lindsey Crosby. He is Christian Rau, baseball writers for Athlon Sports. He's managing editor of Inside the Cardinals. And smaller slate of games yesterday, but I feel like some pretty impactful games and some pretty big storylines that come out of this. And as I mentioned in the cold open, Christian, I think the biggest one right now, it's for the first time since June 10th, 2022, the Atlanta Braves are currently out of a playoff spot in the National League after they got absolutely blasted yet again by the Milwaukee Brewers. I believe it's their fifth straight loss. Another short outing from a starter, this one Charlie Morton. And so, like, as they head out for a West Coast trip, they've got to play the Colorado Rockies, play the Los Angeles Angels. It feels like this team, it's not just the injuries. It can't be just the injuries. This is not the same Braves team that we saw set a ton of offensive records in 2023.
Yeah, and, you know, the injuries, I don't want to say it is an excuse because it's obviously somewhat of a concern and it's some sort of an issue. But you're right. It can't be the whole story anymore. Not where we're sitting now. What has happened over the past couple games, post All-Star break, you name it. We've tried to figure out what is going on with this offense all season long. Lindsey, you put out, I think you could even probably call it a book on how the offense was not working at the beginning of the season over on BravesToday.com. It was a great article, but left us with more questions, if you will. Was it the baseballs? Was it the way that they're hitting the ball? Was it the polling? We just don't know. And it's still continuing on to right now. What is going on with that offense? Now you're adding in pitching concerns with more injuries and other things hitting the books. I am not surprised the way that they've been playing over the past few games that they are out of the playoffs. It's just so weird to see them not in a postseason spot. As you mentioned, it's been over 2 years since it's happened.
Yeah. And I mean, and this is, it's the entire offense, right? They're batting, I've got it up here. They're batting 239 as a team. It's the 11th lowest batting average in the National League out of 15 teams. Runs scored 479 is 14th out of 15 teams. They've only stolen 49 bases as a team. Obviously, Ronald Acuña Jr. is a big part of that. But strikeouts, 1,047th. It's the third worst in the National League. Like, they're not performing nearly to the extent that they historically have been able to do. And even some of the same guys, Eddie Rosario just got DFA'd yesterday. He left in free agency and got on with the Washington Nationals. Last year in Atlanta, in a platoon role, but the large side of it, 142 games for Eddie Rosario, he batted 255 with 21 homers. This year, combined between Washington and Atlanta, he's batting 175. And it's just, like, it's everybody on the offense. Matt Olson has 18 homers and is batting 227. His slugging is 414. It was the highest in base, one of the highest in baseball last year. Austin Riley is now up to 266, but he's got 17 homers. He's not going to catch that 30-something pace that he hit last year. And outside of Marcell Ozuna, they've not had any sort of consistency on the offensive side. And at this point, like, it's very obvious the success of the team this year has been because the pitching staff was so good early in the year. And even then, they've not been good recently. The Braves have four consecutive games where their starter didn't make it five innings, right? Going back to Sunday against the Marlins. And so because of that, now you're in a situation where they're giving up tons of runs. They're getting blasted. And I legitimately, like, I think the big question here is, do the Braves, as currently constructed, miss the postseason entirely? And I'm, for the first time, I think, all season, I'm starting to wonder if the answer to that is yes.
I think the answer is yes, and especially if they don't change the way that they play right away. And I think that it's going to tell right off the bat on this West Coast trip. If you can't get something going against the Rockies at Coors Field with that offense, if you can't get something going against the Angels, who have shown flashes of success, sure, this season. They've had some wins against the Yankees lately, but regardless, if you can't come out with two series wins at least, not just sweeps, but just like series wins in the next two series over the weekend and the start of the week next week, then I think we need to start realizing what the temperature is of the Braves, because it's probably time to stick a fork in them.
Yeah, this is the first time in 90 years that the Braves allowed at least 16 hits in three consecutive games. They lost all three. The injuries have been so bad that Sean Murphy was out for multiple months. Michael Harris was out for multiple months. Ozzie Albies would be out for multiple months. Blooper, the mascot, has a calf injury. The guy who wears the Blooper costume has a calf injury, and there's a backup in the costume right now. That's how bad things have been for the Atlanta Braves. And then the flip side of that, the Milwaukee Brewers, okay? So 52 hits. Listen, okay, our friends at Optistats put out a great tweet last night. In the three-game series, the Brewers had 52 hits, 34 runs, drew 19 walks, hit 8 homers, and stole 6 bases. There has never been a three-game span in baseball history where a team hit all of those numbers.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. it was literally a historic ass kicking of the Atlanta Braves by the Milwaukee Brewers. So,
you know, and the Brewers don't get talked about enough. That's something too. Like when it comes to having small market teams, they don't talk about the Brewers enough. And I know you're about to get into it, but no one gave this team a chance, and look at where they're at.
Yeah. Like trading away Corbin Burns, losing Brandon Woodruff to injury, and then ended up non-tendering him. Devin Williams being out for a good portion of the season. Losing Craig Counsell. A lot of people thought that Craig Counsell was the magic sauce that made all of this work. Chicago Cubs fans kind of realized that maybe he wasn't the magic sauce.
Yeah.
But
they're on the hook.
Yeah, they're on the hook for that contract now. So is this the year when you have this young offense? You have Jackson Chourio finally, getting his feet underneath him at the major league level. First multi-home run game of his career was yesterday against Atlanta. Is this the year that the Brewers finally advance past the wild card round, or past their first round in the postseason? Because they have been eliminated in their first postseason matchup every time since 2018. 2018 is the last time they won a series and advanced. Is this the year that they advance past whatever their first round matchup is?
You know, that's a tough question, because when you look at who's on their team, Lindsay, they're all young, right? So I am a strong believer that playoff pedigree is a thing. Playoff experience is a thing. And for the majority of this team, they don't have any. So when you're trying to break a streak like that, it's almost like it's a brand new streak when you're looking at this young core. So I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, win that first round, because I truly think, as well as this team has been as of late and as successful as this team has been as of late, they're still 1 year out from being that really strong competitive team. And I think they know that. And I think true Brewers fans also know that this team right now is kind of overachieving in a good way. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. What their core that they're building, they're going to be so much better next year, because the pieces they're going to add, and I still think they're going to have some addition by subtraction in the offseason as well, which we'll get to later on in this show. But if I had to go on a limb, I'm going to say no, they can't beat the playoff streak this year, because they have to gain some playoff experience and playoff pedigree first. But I think that's only going to be better for them in the long run.
Something we'd like to do kind of on here, and the question is, who are your three guys who start in the postseason? And like, if you look at their depth chart right now, Freddy Peralta is your number one. It's Freddy Peralta, Colin Rea, Frankie Montas, Aaron Savali, Tobias Myers in some order. Wade Miley, 60-day IL. DL Hall, 60-day IL. Bob Gass, Robert Gasser, 60-day IL. And it feels like, for as exciting as this young offense is, you've got good defenders, you've got exciting players, lots of speed with a Sal Frelick and a Garrett Mitchell and a Chourio and everybody. One, you don't have Christian Yelich, which I think hurts. William Contreras is still hitting, but is not launching bombs like he was early in the year. And he's gotten a big workload. He was, for a while, he had played every single game. And then that rotation issue, I kind of agree with you. I don't quite think this is the year, but I do think you have a sustainable young core. Getting that experience, like you said, will be helpful. At the same time, the Arizona Diamondbacks last year didn't have a lot of playoff experience, you know, for a lot of their guys, Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, all those kind of guys. And they made a deep run. But I do think the difference in these two teams was they had Zach Gallen, right? They had, you know, they had those top of the rotation guys that you could feel confident you weren't playing from a disadvantage in any pitching matchup, you know. So that was the flip side of that. And so, yeah, I don't necessarily know if this is the year, but I do think it's a very, very promising core. And I like the Brewers to be contenders in the Central, if not winning it every year for a while.
I didn't think that the Corbin Burnes trade initially, when the trade came in right away, was going to be an immediate impact, but it has, with the Joey Ortiz and even with DL Hall being on the injured list. Mm-hmm. You can see the paint by number. You can see the color starting to slowly come in with this Milwaukee Brewers team for success. And you mentioned DL Hall, you mentioned Bob Gass, with the exception of Wade Miley, in which you can't convince me otherwise, by the way, that he also didn't serve in the Civil War. But with those guys on the injured list, when they come back, that's another young core you can build upon. And I don't think that they're done with that aspect. I think they still have a couple more top prospects, pitching prospects too, that are in the system. So I like where this team is heading, and who says they can't, you know, find a spark in the playoffs? That's obviously, we saw Arizona. I just, if I had to pick it right now, I'm not betting, even though it's as amazing as they look this season or the series, I'm not betting them to win against the Dodgers, against the Phillies. So what, in whatever round they play first. So,
yeah, a big storyline going into next year for me with this team, I don't want to quite move on just yet, is Willy Adames being a free agent. I feel like Joey Ortiz is honestly probably as good, if not better than him defensively. I think Joey Ortiz is one of the better defenders in baseball. Doesn't get a lot of credit for it. I think he's going to slip into shortstop just right. But when you look at these two guys, Ortiz is batting .254. Adames is batting .252. But Adames has hit 20 homers and Ortiz has seven.
That's
and I think that power, you know, Adames has stolen 12 bases. Ortiz has six. I do think the extra dimension of what Willy Adames gives you on a team that doesn't have a ton of amazing power hitters, the leader on that team right now in home runs is Willy Adames. He's got more than first baseman Rhys Hoskins, who has 19. Christian Yelich has 11. William Contreras has 13. Jackson Gerga has 14. Willy Adames leads that team in homers, and we're all expecting him to walk in free agency. And so that becomes the big question for me is, I think about, this is not fair, I think about the Marlins last year, how they weren't really good at hitting homers, and then they lost their main source of power in Jorge Soler in free agency, and they were not really able to replace it. Is there someone in that Milwaukee system, in that future plan, that can replace that power production? Is that what a healthy Christian Yelich can do? Do you expect another leap from Jackson Churio when he get into that 25 to 30 homer range? Where does that power come from? Because unfortunately, this is still a game that is driven by the long ball. You can steal bases. They got six dudes in double digit stolen bases, right?
Right.
But I feel like if you can't hit for power, when you get to the postseason, and this may explain some of those difficulties, it's so hard to string together consecutive hits against the best pitchers in baseball, against your Zach Wheelers, against your Zach Gallens, against your Spencer Striders. Not that that's going to be a thing this year, but can they find that power hitter next year to come up and give them the replace that Willy Adames dimension if they can't keep him in free agency? And we all kind of assume they're not going to be able to.
Yeah, Ortiz, .755 OPS. It's not like he's a bad batter. It's just that power is not as incomparable to Adames. So
he's a shortstop playing third base. I mean, yeah,
if he turns out to be a, if he turns out to be a bottom of the lineup guy, but you can depend on his defense, there's nothing wrong about that. But I do think you need to find power, as you mentioned. Jackson Chirio needs to take another step up, which I think that'll happen in his second year. Mm-hmm. And then you have other guys that you can hopefully depend on. Tyler Black, Wes Clark. Hopefully you can get some power out of those guys next year. But if not, then I think you got to look elsewhere in free agency about a position and focus on that primary power spot, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I think that is a concern moving forward. But I would be shocked if Willie Adames is a Brewer next season. But I also thought he was going to be gone at some point this year, too.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't in contention, he absolutely would have been a Los Angeles Dodger, right?
Yeah,
he would have been a Dodger. But, you know, they're in contention. They're leading the division right now. It makes sense that he's still there. Talking about, you know, with relation to the Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, 5-game win streak. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They have a weekend series that is very, or a schedule, upcoming schedule that is very favorable to them continuing to climb. They're already leading the wild card right now, but they go to Miami this weekend for 3. And then they come home to face the Pirates, who they just swept on the road last week, which I've said this before on different podcasts. I hate that you play 2 series against the same team in a week and a half. I understand the idea of we're trying to do a balance. You go there, you get them at home as well. Spread it out a little bit. One of the stated points of the balance schedule was so that fans got to see the greatest players come to their town. But let's use Atlanta's going to play LA next week to play the Angels. Mike Trout's on the injured list. If Mike Trout was on the 10-day IL and you play them twice in 2 weeks, you probably don't see him in either matchup. Spread these out a little bit. Make it 1 month and the next month, not 1 week and the next week. It's absurd. But anyway, sorry. So, Padres, the pitching, second half pitching since the All-Star break. You had a great set on a rundown here. Best team ERA in baseball at 2.75. And look at some of their individual performances. Dylan Cease follows up a no-hitter with, he only gets one inning because of weather, but then the bullpen goes and throws an 8-inning shutout. Matt Waldron, the knuckleballer, 1 run, 7 strikeouts, and 5 2/3. Martin Perez, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, and 6 innings. Michael King, who was part of that Juan Soto deal, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Even like a Randy Vasquez goes and gives you, he's 1 out away from a quality start. And then last time we talked about these guys, I remember saying Manny Machado has to hit because you still don't have Fernando Tatis Jr. Manny Machado's OPS in August is over 1,000. Same thing with Jackson Maryland center field. Who would you, like, is there a team you would rather, trying to figure out the best way to ask this. Is there a team you want to face in October less than the San Diego Padres?
Man, but just looking at how this rotation has been, and that's why I threw it on the rundown when we were getting ready for this show today. Martin Perez made me a liar. Last time we were talking about the Padres, I said he didn't move the needle for me when we were talking about trade deadline pieces. And he comes out and gives you 6 innings. The fact that this, with the exception of Dylan Cease, which he can't help because it was a weather delay in Pittsburgh, he went 1 inning. They didn't want to mess him up. He'll be fine when he gets back. He's coming off a damn no-hitter. But they're getting length. Their rotation is giving them length this deep in the season. And what was the biggest thing we talked about for the Padres at the deadline? Their bullpen. Right? They have the best team ERA in the second half right now of all pitchers at 2.75, as you mentioned, but they haven't had to use their bullpen as much as some other teams had to because they're getting length out of that rotation, a rotation that we thought was going to be questionable because Musgrove's out. We don't know what's going on at Yu Darvish, and the players that they grabbed are stepping up. Can it last? That's a big question. We go back to that question that we like to ask all the time on the show, Lindsay, who's your 1-2-3 right now in the playoffs? Well, right now, I'm guessing it's Dylan Cease, it's Martin Perez, and it's probably Matt Waldron.
It's, I think, not that's Martin Perez.
You don't think
it's,
so?
No, it's Dylan Cease, Matt Waldron, Michael King. Martin Perez is either him or Vasquez are doing King? Game 4. but it's got to be King because of the swing and miss, right? You think that he's got better swing and miss, and that's what you got to have. It's not Martin Perez, right?
King has just been a little iffy other his last few starts, and I know
there is a workload concern there. He did come up recently as a prospect. You're right. So that may be it may be different by the postseason. I think, okay, you're probably right there. I still just can't believe it's Martin Perez, though.
I don't want to jump ship completely because I still think that it doesn't move the needle as much as it's happening. He's made me a liar. I have to put that out on record, though.
Yeah.
But yeah. So in other words, I guess we both can agree that game three of a playoff is a question for this Padres as of right now, still, even with what they've done for this rotation. Is there a team that I'd want to face less than the San Diego Padres? Honestly, if I'm any division winner, and in this case, it'd be the Milwaukee Brewers, right? Because they would host the first. No, they'd host the top wild card. Am I right? Is that how that works? The other way. No, they face the bottom wild card.
So it would be the first and second wild cards face each other. Yeah.
So in this case, as of right now, I think it'd be the Padres versus Diamondbacks, which would be insane, by the way.
What a matchup.
And I wouldn't want to face this Padres team based on the offense. But if I'm looking at all the rest of these teams, I'm okay with going against this rotation right now, because I think we're going to see some sort of regression eventually. And even though Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter, there's been times where he's also given up six, seven runs in an outing. So,
yeah,
I love the San Diego Padres team offensively. I love what Jackson Merrill has done this year. He has proven a lot of haters wrong. And, well, by the way, he was a shortstop just 8 months ago. Now he's an all-star center fielder. But this 5-game winning streak, again, I think that what the Diamondbacks and what the Padres are doing are so impressive. And even though I don't think I'd want to take them in a playoff series right now, I'm still going out on a limb. And I said this earlier in the week, they're going to win the National League West. They're going to do it.
Regular season, I don't think I'm as worried about facing the Padres. Postseason, knowing they've got that four-headed monster in the bullpen of Robert Suarez, Tanner Scott, Jason Adams, Jeremiah Estrada.
Yeah,
you can dramatically shorten games. Yeah. And like them being able to have off days where they could throw those guys in every game if they have to. I mean, I absolutely do not like if you can combine King and Vasquez or King and Perez to get through four or five innings, and then you can let each one of those guys throw an inning in the postseason, it's over. And
that's
so
really true. That's true. Like,
regular season, I'm not as scared. Postseason, I don't want to face these guys, especially since they've done all of this without Fernando Tatis. They'll have him in that lineup as well. And him, I think right now David Peralta is getting the majority of starts in right field. It's definitely a step up to move to Fernando Tatis Jr. and adds another element there. So a little bit terrifying. Just a few minutes left in the show. Quick reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. It does mean a ton. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star review on the app of your choice. And tell your friends. Tell your friends you're enjoying First Pitch every single morning, hearing the top stories from yesterday in Major League Baseball. All right, for Quick Pitch, minor league update. We always do this. Rhett Lauder of the Cincinnati Reds had another scoreless outing yesterday. Look at some of this young pitching depth that they're building in Cincinnati. Rhett Lauder, Chase Burns, guys like him. Is this how you should build a sustainable contender? And when you play in that ballpark, does it really matter?
That's a good point. When you're playing in this ballpark, the Great American Small Park, as they like to say, I think that that's exactly what they needed. Now, if you kind of look back what they did a few years ago when they were trying to build up once again, and around the same time that they got Hunter Green, they were kind of doing the same thing. But they have that young core on the offensive side right now when it comes to Ellie De La Cruz. Jonathan India, I think you still can put into that consideration. However, his offseason, his, you know, chances with being a Red is up in the air.
We're getting to that.
But I like what the rotation looks like right now. Andrew Abbott, great. Hunter Green, I mean, Hunter Green, I think, is the most underrated pitcher right now. Dare I say baseball, not just the National League. He's just not getting enough credit that he deserves. Mm-hmm. But when you add another guys like this, like a Rhett Lauder, which I think Rhett Lauder's not getting enough credit, and that's mostly because of what they just grabbed from Chase Burns. They think Chase Burns is going to be an absolute stud. There's nothing saying that he's not going to be. There's nothing that I'm saying he's not going to be. But I think that Rhett Lauder deserves a lot more credit. He's proving it in Chattanooga right now. Mm-hmm. I want to see him get one start before 2025 is over up with the big league team, especially since they're, let's face it, the Reds are probably out of it. Give him one cup of coffee just to feel how it's like so he can go and make the adjustments in the offseason. I think that's crucial for 2025 for the Reds.
Move him to Louisville soon. Let him get his feet wet in AAA with that ball and then go
just
to the bigs.
Just one start.
Yeah. It reminds me of how the Mariners built their rotation. They made a big trade for Luis Castillo, their ace. Right, but outside of that, homegrown, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, Ryan Wu. It feels like that's what they're going for. They had a big push for position players. They got that core in place. Now they're coming behind it with the pitching. I think it's a great plan. I'm really curious to see what it looks like. Talking about the Reds, there was a piece that you sent me in from Bleacher Report about a player from each team most likely to be traded in the offseason. We'll link it in the show notes if you guys want to look at the piece. But the big takeaway for me is, can we talk about this whole trade Jonathan India thing for a minute? Because it was the offseason. It was rumored to do it. You look at the trade deadline. The Yankees supposedly wanted to get Jonathan India. Here's my thing. Depth will always work itself out. What was the conversation in the offseason was, where do we play everybody? We've got too many guys in the infield. And then what happened? Matt McClain, shoulder injury, ended up being out for the year. Noelvi Marte gets suspended for a bunch of games. And then they lost Christian Encarnacion Strand to, a wrist fracture. So they got to go grab Ty France off of waivers for first base, and then they get Marte back. Like, it's depth will always work itself out. There's no reason to move on from Jonathan India just because you think you have too many pieces. And he's a good hitter. He's batting 260, but he's not. I don't think the return for Jonathan India is good enough to move the needle for you, right? 9 home runs, 10 stolen bases. He is above average at a lot of stuff. He's not exceptional, I feel like, at almost anything, even defense. And so keep that guy, because look what happened this year with the injuries. You had to go get another infielder midseason, and you had to settle for somebody who was DFA'd. If you had traded Jonathan India, you would have two holes in your lineup and not one. And so I don't understand why we're trying to move on from Jonathan India. He's also not that expensive. He's making $4.4 million. Come on.
Yeah, I think you hold on to him too. I agree. I think he's a great all-around player. Like, just as you mentioned, he's not excelling in everything, but he's not bad in anything either. So I like Jonathan India. I think the Reds to keep him, and especially at the price too. Yeah, that will always work itself out. I'm going to go with Milwaukee Brewers, as we mentioned earlier in the show. And I think Devin Williams is a piece that can be moved still. As I mentioned, I think Milwaukee's still 1 year out. They have been this successful that people did not think they are going to be this entire season until about a week ago without Devin Williams, right? So he's only played 3 games this year. Yes, 3 innings. That's all he's gone so far. I think that they go ahead and move on from him. He's got a $10.5 million club option for 2025. There's obviously some value in him because he's still going to be seen as one of the best relievers in the game, and I still think that is the case. I think the Brewers move on from him. They go ahead and grab, maybe that's where they find their power bat. Maybe that's where that goes. But people questioned them for trading Corbin Burns last year, Lindsay. I think they're going to throw questions at him again for trading Devin Williams. It seemed to work out for him this year. I would not be surprised that they get another good deal for Devin Williams in the offseason. I think that's what's going to turn the offseason on its head, maybe set a domino effect for a couple people. Let's go ahead and just call it now. In Dallas, Devin Williams gets moved at the winter meetings.
There we go. Quick shout out. Vlad Guerrero Jr., single away from the cycle against the Orioles yesterday. You had a great stat that I didn't realize. It says April 27th, he's batting .356 with a 1. OPS. Just
insane.
Absolutely absurd. Obviously, big question. Do you sign him? Do you sign Bo Bichette for Toronto? We'll see what they do. I imagine one of those situations gets resolved this offseason. Again, maybe in Dallas at the winter meetings. Real quick before we go, which weekend series do you think is the most pivotal and impactful this weekend?
Pivotal and impactful. Astros, Red Sox. Right now, I think that's where I go. That's where my mind goes. Both of them are in the hunt for the playoffs. Astros about to take the lead for the AL West. Red Sox in the wild card race right now. So give me those two.
I've got Phillies Diamondbacks. Phillies have been struggling. They've won 3 straight, but they're 4-6 in their last 10. Diamondbacks have been hot. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Those teams square off this weekend. Two playoff teams match up between two playoff squads. I'm curious to see what they do. Another great episode of First Pitch. Enjoy the games this weekend. We will see you Monday on First Pitch.